My name is Caroline Fleck. I am a clinical psychologist and the author of Validation, How the Skill Set That Revolutionized Psychology Will Transform Your Relationships, Increase Your Influence, and Change Your Life. My expertise is in a treatment known as Dialectical Behavior Therapy, or DBT. DBT revolutionized psychotherapy when it came on the scene in the early 90s. It introduced a set of validation skills to help therapists demonstrate mindfulness, understanding, and empathy in ways that convey genuine acceptance. So, validation was intended to balance out the emphasis that therapy puts on change, particularly behavioral therapies, which were the gold standard at the time. The effect of combining validation with behaviorism proved remarkable. DBT succeeded in treating conditions that had confounded psychologists for generations, facilitating change even amongst those patients who were highly resistant to it. The subsequent research on validation has shown that our ability to influence someone, be it our kids, boss, or even ourselves, often comes down to our ability to accept and validate them. Despite DBT's success and the proven benefits of validation, the skills used to communicate it have remained largely buried in treatment manuals and research articles written for psychologists. Most of the mainstream books I see on topics like change and influence are still rehashing behavioral principles like positive reinforcement and habit building from over 70 years ago. Nobody is talking about the more recent and truly remarkable science on how to enhance these approaches through acceptance. I wrote this book because I don't think you should have to get an advanced degree in psychology to develop skills that will serve you in any relationship. And so here are five takeaways from my new book that speak to what validation is, the remarkable effects it has on relationships, and some skills you can use to communicate it. Takeaway number one, validation is not what you think. So my technical definition of validation is that it communicates mindfulness, understanding, and empathy in ways that convey acceptance. If I were to translate that into a mantra, it would be validation shows that you're there, you get it, and you care. Importantly, validation is not praise. So praise is a judgment. It says, I like the way you look or perform. Validation demonstrates acceptance. It says, I accept who you are independent of how you look or perform. When people claim that we shouldn't rely on external validation, they're confusing validation with praise. Validation is also not problem solving. Problem solving focuses on changing someone's reaction by suggesting solutions to their problem. For example, I know you didn't do well on that spelling test, so why don't we try reviewing your words on the way to school next time? That's problem solving. Validation, on the other hand, focuses on acknowledging the situation and the validity of someone's response to it. For example, you studied so hard, I can understand why you're upset. That's validation. Lastly, validation is not agreement. I can validate why someone would have concerns about protecting an unborn fetus, even if I am pro-choice. Now, if the idea of validating an opinion you disagree with makes you nervous, rest assured that validating another person's perspective does not necessarily function to reinforce it. On the contrary, people tend to get entrenched in their views when they feel like they have to defend their own position or attack yours. A validating response from you leaves nothing to attack, much less anything to defend against. So again, validation shows that you're there, you get it, and you care. It's not praise or problem solving or agreement. Takeaway number two, validation is like MDMA for your relationships. So validation improves relationships by transforming how they feel. It increases trust, intimacy, and psychological safety. Research has consistently shown validation to be among the strongest predictors of relational outcomes, ranging from commitment to quality across various types of relationships. This is a really important point given the effect relationships have on our health and life expectancy. Having poor social relationships is associated with the same death rate as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Data show that the quality of a person's relationships can increase their probability of surviving by 50%. Importantly, validation is critical to all of our relationships, including the one we have with ourselves. Knowing how to validate your own emotions is critical to developing self-compassion and improving how you relate to yourself. I have more tips on self-validation in the book. Validation is also particularly helpful in the context of conflict. Okay, it's basically like adding an adorable cat filter to yourself during a video conferencing meeting. It makes you immediately less threatening and infinitely harder to argue with. Why? Well, the answer appears to be in how it affects the validated person's physiology. As someone becomes more upset, their ability to reason, recall, and focus sharply decreases. Their sympathetic nervous system takes over, and their response options are reduced to fight, flight, or freeze. Validation tempers this response. It decreases sympathetic arousal and increases a person's ability to reason and engage in perspective taking. Validating people in highly stressful situations has been shown to decrease their heart rate, sweating, and negative emotions. Not surprisingly, invalidation has proven to have the opposite effect. It increases distress and conflict. Takeaway number three. Research suggests that validation is a catalyst for change. I made this point earlier in discussing how validation is used in DBT, but neuroimaging research can help us understand what's going on here. See, the question of whether or not validation can drive people to change their behavior comes down to the degree to which it's perceived as rewarding. Anything that's rewarding has the potential to act as positive reinforcement, a reward given after a behavior that increases the likelihood that the behavior will be repeated. So, if a dog who has been rewarded with a treat for sitting on command is more likely to sit on command in the future, we know that that treat functioned to positively reinforce the dog's behavior. Positive reinforcements work by lighting up the reward centers of our brain and causing the release of neurotransmitters like dopamine that cause us to feel pleasure. Opioid, orgasms, and cash giveaways, for example, all have this effect. Neuroimaging research has shown that feeling understood activates these same reward centers of the brain and also regions associated with social connectedness. Going back to our question of whether validation feels good enough to cause people to change their behavior, the answer is a resounding yes. Takeaway number four. Validation is a skill set anyone can master. Therapists are trained in specific skills to help them reliably and authentically communicate validation. In my new book, I describe how I've adapted these therapist skills so they can be used by anyone in any relationship. The model I developed is called the validation ladder and includes three subsets of skills that map on to each of the three main qualities of validation. So you've got two skills for conveying mindfulness, three for understanding, and three for empathy. Now, validation only works if it's authentic. So if you don't understand or empathize with someone's experience, the mindfulness skills might be all you can use. They're not as powerful as some of the others, but they are great in a pinch. So, an example of a mindfulness skill is attending, which requires you to focus on answering this two-parter. Okay, first, what's a better way to make this person's point? And second, why does it matter to them? So you don't need to communicate your insights. As a mindfulness skill, these questions are designed to inform how you listen. By focusing on these questions, you're more likely to signal engagement and naturally ask more targeted questions, rather than focusing on your rebuttal or allowing your mind to wander. To use the understanding skills, you need to genuinely see the logic in someone's response. An example of an understanding skill is equalizing or normalizing. So if you can imagine you'd react similar to whatever the other person is going through, you could simply say something like, anyone in your shoes would want a second opinion, or I would have done the same thing. By saying that someone's reaction is consistent or equal to what you would think or feel or do in that situation, you communicate that it's understandable. Finally, the empathy skills are the most validating, as they convey mindfulness, understanding, and empathy in one fell swoop. An example of an empathy skill is emoting. You might tear up if someone is relaying a sad story, or jump up and down when they share good news. Emoting has you enter into the other person's experience, not as a spectator, but as an active participant. When I first learned validation skills as a therapist, I wasn't blown away by their novelty. Many of the skills in the validation ladder will be things you've heard of or done before. The transformative power they hold only becomes apparent once you've honed and internalized when to use them. Validation is a lot like baking. The steps involved seem deceptively straightforward, but if a novice and a master baker follow the exact same recipe, the outcomes will be noticeably different. Timing, technique, and understanding how to pivot when needed. These minor adjustments determine whether or not someone will appreciate or be reinforced by the quote-unquote treat you provide them. Takeaway number 5, find the kernel of truth. You should only validate a person's experience to the extent that you actually consider it to be valid. So the aim is to find the kernel of truth in someone's experience and validate that. Generally speaking, a person's experience is composed of their thoughts, emotions, and behavior. Psychologists consider thoughts to be valid if they are logical or reasonable based on the facts of a situation. Behaviors are considered valid if they're effective, given one's long-term goals. As for emotions, well, you can presume that emotions are always valid. Trust me, you do not want to get in the business of arguing with people about how they feel. A person's behavior and emotions might be valid, even if the thoughts that gave rise to them are invalid, and vice versa. So for example, if someone has been led to believe that there is an imminent threat of an alien invasion, they would understandably feel anxious and fearful. Anxiety and fear are valid reactions to an impending danger. It also makes sense that this individual would vote for a politician with a plan for dealing with the alien invasion. Their thoughts in this scenario are invalid as they're based on misinformation, but their emotions and behavior are reasonable given the misinformation they're operating on. Recognizing the valid doesn't mean you can't work on changing what's invalid or problematic. On the contrary, if the last 30 years has taught us anything, it's that people are much more receptive to collaborating, taking in feedback, and even changing when they feel seen in their experience. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you'll not only enjoy the book, but experience the transformative effects of the skills it contains.